ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Eighth canto, chapter 7, text 27.
Nabhi nabaste shvashanam nabhasvan. Suryascha chakshumsi jalam smaretaha. Pravratyamashrayanam tavatma. Samo mano dayur bhagavan shirashti.
Translation, there is no purport. O Lord, the sky is your navel, the air is your breathing, the sun is your eye, and the water is your semen. You are the shelter of all kinds of living entities, high and low. The god of the moon is your mind, and the upper planetary system is your head. We'll read text 28 and 29. Text 28. O Lord, you are the three Vedas personified. The seven seas are your abdomen, and the mountains are your bones. All drugs, creepers, and vegetables are the hairs on your body. The Vedic mantras like Gayatri are the seven layers of your body. And the Vedic religious system is the core of your heart. Text 29. O Lord, the five important Vedic mantras are represented by your five faces, from which the 38 most celebrated Vedic mantras have been generated. Your Lordship, being celebrated as Lord Shiva, is self-illuminated. You are directly situated as the supreme truth known as Paramatma. I'll just read the Sanskrit. Kukshihi samudra girayo asti sangaha romani sarva oshadhi virudhaste chandamsi shakshat tava saptadhatavas trai mayatman ridayam sarva dharmaha. That is 28. 29 is mukhani pancho upanishadas Tavesha, Yais Trimashad Ashtarottara Mantra Vargaha, Yat Tach Shivakayam Paramatma Tattvam Deva Swayam Jyotir Avastitaste. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Purport. The five mantras mentioned in this connection are as follows. First, Purusha. Second, Aghora. Third, Sadhyajotah. Fourth, Vamadeva. And fifth, Ishna. These five mantras are within the category of 38 special Vedic mantras chanted by Lord Shiva, who is therefore celebrated as Shiva or Mahadev. Another reason why Lord Shiva is called Shiva, which means all auspicious, is that he is self-illuminated, exactly like Lord Vishnu, who is the Paramatma. Because Lord Shiva is directly an incarnation of Lord Vishnu, he is situated as Lord Vishnu's direct representative. This fact is corroborated by a Vedic mantra, Patim Vishvasyatma Eshwaram Saseshvatma Shivam Achyutam. The super soul is called by many names, of which Maheshwara, Shiva and Achyuta are especially mentioned. Hare Krishna, we take the blessings of all the devotees to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the series of shlokas where Lord Shiva's glorification is being done by the Prajapatis. And this is a situation where the demigods and the demons both are in trouble because of the halahal poison is creating a great problem. So they are advised by Lord Krishna, by Lord Vishnu, to approach Lord Shiva And Lord Vishnu, along with the demigods, approaches Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is a wonderful hero for all the Vaishnavas. Whenever we talk about Lord Shiva, we become very happy, very inspired. There are many other people who also become inspired when they think about Shivaratri, Lord Shiva. I think you understand why, because of they're going to drink something on that particular day or smoke something. That is their inspiration. But for Vaishnavas, none of these things are going to take place. Yet they are very happy when they hear about Lord Shiva, worship him as a hero. Why? If we ask our own hearts, why we feel like that for a special place for Lord Shiva, which seems to be very inconceivable to people who are devotees of Lord Shiva. As a matter of fact, Krishna is inconceivable. Krishna's bhakti is inconceivable. One who becomes Krishna's devotee, his practices in Krishna consciousness become very inconceivable to others. Everything becomes very inconceivable unless we come in this movement. As a matter of fact, when we were not here, we also found it to be very inconceivable. And there were devotees who tricked us into Krishna consciousness and slowly, slowly, slowly feeding us prasad, giving us the holy name, giving us their association. Things have become manifesting and become conceivable to us. Is that right? It happened that way, slowly. Like I was in Bhaktivedanta Hospital, I was passing towards the first floor, third floor for a class. And all of a sudden, book stall which was put on the ground floor, they called me that please come, we need your help. I said, what's up? So there's one person from another religion who has come, which is most prominent in that area. And he's asking for, he's taking some books from us, but he has some doubts about impersonalism. So I was thinking that, what can I talk to this man? And then he started asking me, why Lord Krishna steals butter and how can you worship a thief? And it was very obvious. I was in saffron. He was having this beard. And so two people of different religions sitting and talking right in the lobby. Everybody walking by looking at us. What is happening? They are just praying that there should not be a fight. And we were into hot argument. And he just could not. I tried my best to tell him how it is. It took me 10 years to understand this. I cannot explain it to you in 5 minutes. That why this is inconceivable, what we are doing, you know, it's not like his leela is not like ours. He was mentioning that how God is so great, he cannot come here and do something, you know. So I said, if he's great, he can do anything. But he was not able to conceive. And then people hearing next, sitting, it just started collecting, people started coming, sitting as if, you know. One man had his appointment. But after hearing our conversation, he came and he started fighting with me to make some points. Why Ram does this and things like that. And his appointment was going. They were calling him from there. So it's so inconceivable. Inconceivable that why we worship Lord Shiva in such a particular way. He's the husband of Maya Devi. Who's so powerful that she is all-pervading. It is said she doesn't take a break. She doesn't take rest like we do. We sometimes take break. Even in bhakti, we need a break. You know, like people say sometimes, if you're not doing properly bhakti, you need a break. So she doesn't take a break because that is her bhakti. To see to it that people are thoroughly purified before they reach Krishna's abode. So she does a very thorough job of checking in and out what are your internal, external desires. And she's all pervading from Lord Brahma's abode to down here, the lowest planetary system, to the most insignificant living entity. And she knows inside and outside what is going to be the special thing that is going to make this person bewildered. So she keeps testing. And Lord Shiva is her husband. Of course, she cannot delude Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva, here it is said that he's actually a direct expansion of Lord Vishnu. So only Vishnu, because he says that Mama Maya Durataya, can control, overcome this Maya. No one else can. If anybody says that I am very powerful, then he should understand he is as powerful as Shiva. That is the only other subject matter. So, there is one story of Markandeya Rishi. And the other person who can actually overcome Maya is the one who takes shelter of Krishna or Lord Shiva. So here, Markandeya Rishi, he is doing his tapasya, and Indra, as usual, becomes afraid, sends some apsaras to delude him, and the apsaras come, and nothing happens to him. And so, Lord Krishna becomes very happy, and he comes as Naranarayan Rishi, and he says that, I'm so happy with your devotion, because you took so much shelter of me, nothing happened to you. So, he gives him an asana to sit, worships him. And then Markandeya Rishi says that, my Lord, Lord says, I want to give you some benediction. So he says, what benediction shall I give you? He says, I would like to see this inconceivable Maya of yours. How many of us would want to ask that benediction? We are always seeing. We are always seeing, we are drowning. And he says, actually asked, what guts? He asked for such a benediction that I want to see this inconceivable mind. I mean, he's really a great devotee. Only such a great devotee wants to. So the Lord says, Tathastu. So be it. And he's just doing his tapasya, sitting again back in the Himalayas. The Lord has gone. As he's doing, one day suddenly he sees that there is ocean. The oceans, they start filling up. And roaring and filling and roaring, and they just start coming close. And he's doing his tapasya, he's wondering what's happening. From all directions, the oceans are roaring. And it is he's engulfed in the ocean. And it becomes the ocean of devastation. There is nothing but water everywhere. And he's floating in this water. It becomes the devastation, the water which fills up the planets during devastation. There's water everywhere, just going up and down. And there are these horrible creatures in the water, the fishes, the Timingala fishes, which can swallow big whales. And they are making terrible noises, fighting, and they are coming to attack Markandeya Rishi. And there are whirlpools which suck him and then spit him out, suck him and spit him out. And he's flying. And he's so much troubled. He's nothing to eat, nothing to drink. There's water, but he cannot drink. And he's, for millions of years, it goes on like that. And he's full of anxiety. Just, wondering what's happening. Millions of years, just imagine. For millions of years, just being in this water of devastation. And after many years, somewhere far away, he sees a tree. And then he sees on that tree the most beautiful sight. On one of the leaves of the tree, he sees a small baby boy who's lying down over there. So Markandeya Rishi, he's so troubled, he goes floating close to this baby boy. And this baby boy looks at him and gives him a beautiful smile. And just by that smile, all his fatigue has gone. All his hunger has disappeared. And then this baby boy, what he does is, he takes his feet and tries to suck it with his hand. And then this baby boy breathes in. And as he breathes in, Markandeya Rishi goes inside this baby boy. Already he's in this, sucked up in this water. Now he goes inside somebody. And he swallowed. And inside he sees there is beautiful land. There is jungles, everything nice. Beautiful. So he's, all facilities are there. So he stays over there for few hundreds and thousands of years. does his tapasya. And then after some time, this boy breathes out. And again he's out, again in the waters of devastation. And again he sees this beautiful boy. So he becomes so attracted to this beautiful boy, he wants to go and embrace him. So he tries to go towards this boy, but this boy disappears. This baby disappears. And then after some time, he sees that he's back in his ashram doing tapasya. And then he realizes this was just the tip of the iceberg of what actually Maya is. With the Lord very kindly showed, gave darshan to me. So it is so powerful. It is so powerful. It is impossible. We know this very famous story. I think it's Brahmanand Prabhu. Very huge devotee. Very strong devotee. Almost like a bodyguard to Prabhupada. And doesn't listen anything. But only the orders of Prabhupada. Many times Prabhupada said, some argument would go on. And the person would not listen. Prabhupada would say, you see this man? If I tell him, he will kill you. You'd frighten people also like that. So he was walking with him on the beach, and then Prabhupada told him, there is a crab. Brahmanand, go and catch him. He tried to catch this crab. Huge man, he could just crush him. But this crab immediately escaped into the water. And he couldn't catch him. That Prabhupada, he couldn't fulfill Prabhupada's order. Prabhupada asked him, why you were not able to catch him? Tell me why. He said, I know, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, because you are so huge, so strong, the crab is so small. But he's taken shelter of the ocean, which is very huge. It's much, much huger than you. Similarly, the great souls, they are constantly taking shelter of Lord Krishna. Therefore, they are always protected. Many times when problems come to me, I forget Krishna and I become problem conscious. Instead of taking shelter of Krishna's holy name, I start taking shelter of my intelligence and my mind. We say that, you know, we should, when there is problem, we should take shelter of Krishna. We should take shelter of the holy names. Many times we say it in the lecture also. But when the problem comes, we don't take shelter. At least I, so conscientiously by association of other devotees, now endeavoring to take shelter whenever there is a problem. Chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And we might wonder, is this not very artificial? When problem comes, I chant. When problem comes, I chant. What is this? It seems to be very artificial. No, this is a natural thing. When there is problem, you take shelter. And we realize, we have heard so many times that people who have not practiced, or they have practiced even little, swalpam, little also they have practiced, they have been able to take shelter of Krishna. Even though they didn't know, like people met with an accident. But then they were found, they were in hospital and they were chanting Hare Krishna in coma. That's the power of taking shelter, even little, mild. There was one devotee in New Vrindavan. And this devotee would come to do some services, but he would never come to the temple hall. He would never come. He would never come and chant. He was against chanting Hare Krishna. He was agreeing with everything but the chanting of the holy name. In the sense, he said, hey, I'll do it. It's not a problem. I'm doing a lot of services. So he would come to the... You would see him once in a while in the temple hall. You would never see him. You'd all be outside always. The temple president, what could he do? But one time this devotee was driving. And he was driving. And you know, New Vrindavan is all hill. He was on the edge of a cliff and he just slipped and his car fell down from the cliff. And there were devotees close by. They all came running. How can we save him? There is no way, you're just falling down a cliff. How can you save somebody? And as he was falling from the car, they heard loud chanting of holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He was shouting at the top of his voice. And the temple president committed to the other devotees, this is called pure chanting of Hare Krishna. And he was saved. He didn't die, he was saved. Of course, he was not seen later on. But the point of the matter is, because they are taking shelter of the holy names, the of Lord Krishna, of Lord Krishna's devotees. Taking shelter of Krishna's devotees is as good as taking shelter of Krishna. Very important. One devotee made an analysis. Why people leave Krishna consciousness? And I like this. He said, initially when people come, they are struggling with their mind and senses. Gross. Struggling with gross mind. So there is neti. The Nectar of Devotion tells that how initially jnana and vairagya. These are two important things to be practiced. But they in themselves cannot elevate one to bhakti. At the same time, they are important. Because they assist one in bhakti. So, this is a part of sadhana bhakti. But then after a few years, 5 years, 10 years, the fight is a little different. It doesn't become gross. It becomes more subtle. Because gross, they have been able to overcome. Now, they know that, okay, if I avoid this particular thing, then there is no gross problem. If I go into that, then there will be a problem. So, we know that this is danger zone. So, they don't go. But then the subtle things are always there. The subtle things are always attacking, and then you are able to fight them out. You learn the art of fighting subtle problems also. With lot of understanding of Shastra, these other things. But then as years pass by, 10 years, 20 years, there are people who have not developed deep friendly relationships with other devotees. What is friendly relationship? Is basically taking shelter of each other in loving affection. That is what it is. So, those who have not done, because to develop any relationship, it takes many years. It takes many, many years to develop. It's not that you just meet somebody and you just, you know, become friends. It takes many years to develop. Like one college student was saying that he entered college, he saw his friend just initial days of college. The college just started. Few days, they have these days, friendship day, this day, that day. So one boy went to the girl and said, you know, I love you. So the girl said that, thank you very much, but you know what? I hardly know you. You know? Why don't we know each other? And then maybe you can speak like this, okay? Because this seems to be very artificial. Even from a materialistic point of view, people understand that it takes some time to develop some relationship, to have faith. What to speak of having a friend to whom you reveal your heart, dadati prati grihnati guhyam akhyati, and he doesn't judge you for what you are. Somebody you can take shelter of. And this is one of the principles of bhakti. It is required. And therefore, now the system we have of BT, VTA is so nice because the devotees come together and they go through a struggle where they don't have any independence, no authority, just follow orders. But after a few years, then they become free to do different services. But the relationships that they have developed during that time will remain forever. So, because it takes 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. And so, those devotees who have become great people in terms of preaching, in terms of followers, but they have not developed these deep relationships at that time. Now, they have overcome gross, they have overcome subtle problems. But at the age of 40, 50, they start feeling somewhat lonely. They don't feel, I have anybody to whom I can actually serve in a very personal way. Because when I go to the juniors, they are always with folded hand. And I see seniors, they are always with hands like this. They are like that and like this. But there is nobody even like this to give me an embrace. So I am suffering. I need somebody to open my heart to. And so they start searching outside for a relation. This is not my realization. This is one of the devotees who was sharing this. I liked it because I found it to be very logical that yes, and I immediately called up a friend who is staying outside Mumbai, a devotee, went in and called him up and I told him, I'm sorry. Been long time I spoke to you. Took you for granted. Because on a material level, the false ego is always crashing. I see, I'm better than you. I'm trying to prove I'm better than you. It's a big problem. So, Lord Shiva is Krishna, but he's also that type of a devotee whom one can take shelter of. And he's the husband of Maya. It is all the more important for us to keep good relationships. So, to be saved. Some glories I would like to speak of Lord Shiva. The followers of Shiva, they don't follow any regulation. Lord Shiva lives a very regulated life. Follows his followers. He does different type of preaching, which is very, very difficult. Which one devotee was giving me an example of how, if you want to go and do college preaching in Saffron with shaved head, it's very difficult. They will not accept you inside. But then when you wear a particular dress of pant and shirt and then you go, then people don't have a problem. So when the audience Lord Shiva is preaching to is all bhoot pishaj, and if you go in a very holy dress, they will not accept you. But then you wear some skulls and things like that, you are one of them. So Lord Shiva wears such a dress, preaching to them. And in Padma Puran, he is telling Parvati Devi about the power of association. He is telling her that, see, some other people one should not associate with. So she is very inquisitive. Husband is telling something. Please tell me, what are the type of people I should not associate with? And he tells her that, you know, you should not speak to Pashandis. So she said, how do I identify a Pashandi? I don't know. She says, a Pashandi is one who considers others to be superior to Vishnu. He uses skulls to decorate his body. He has, you know, non-Vedic marks, matted hair. He does not follow Shastra. No devotion for Lord. You know, he may be a Brahmana, but, you know, he diverts people. Parvati starts looking at Shiva from top to bottom. And she says that, you know, why? What do you mean? You know, I mean, you look quite similar than what you are speaking, the way you dress. Why you dress like this? Then the pastime is that Lord Vishnu once called Lord Shiva. And he says that, you know, he said that because my Lord has ordered me to be like this, that's the reason why I'm like this. He says, it's not that, you know, I like this. He says that he told me to create unholy text, which will cause demons to be confused. So there are demonic mentality, people of demonic mentality. Let them become confused. Make holy text like that for them. Then he said, approach atheist sages like Kannada, Gautama, Shakti, Upamainu, Jaimani, Kapila, Durvasa, and inspire them. He said, by infusing your power, they will become powerful Pashandis. And they will narrate to the world Puranas in the mode of ignorance. And you should wear symbols like skull, animal skin, ashes, bones, and delude everyone in the three worlds. This is all ordered by Lord Vishnu. Inaugurate Pashupata order. And others, take to these doctrines all over the demons and let them become averse to this, to my movement. And to delude others more, the Lord said, I will also worship you, so that they will become more confused. And Shiva, hearing all this, he said, my God, what a service. He said that, if I do all this, what will happen to me? So he expressed to the Lord, I may be destroyed. If I am going to do all this, I will be destroyed. So Vishnu gave, he said, don't worry, take this, Vishnu Sahasranam. Take the holy names and you will be protected. So the holy name is given to us for protection, for coming close to Krishna, for everything. 99% of spiritual life based on the holy name. And it is a Naudha Bhakti. The balance is that in sadhana bhakti, one can practice all the nine limbs of bhakti in a balanced way. There is one way of doing it. Rupa Goswami describes. One way is you practice them by balancing all the nine. Shravan, Kirtan, Smaran, Vandan, all of them. And the other is that you may concentrate and focus all in all in one of them. That will also bring success. So it is said that chanting of the Hare Krishna
The holy name, this particular limb of bhakti is so powerful that just by practicing this one limb, all the other eight limbs will be fulfilled. That is the power of the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So seeing the Lord Shiva like this, one should not offend him. I'll just end in 2 minutes. Lord Shiva is very dear to Lord Krishna, and for one reason, because he's always willing to sacrifice his position, his name, his fame, he's least bothered. His only concern is let Krishna be glorified. No. Many times he does that. In so many ways, he gives benediction to Ravana. Ravana becomes very powerful. And when Ravana is fighting, he prays to Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva doesn't come. So the point that is made is that Ravana, in the first canto it is mentioned, that Ravana is a devotee of Lord Shiva. But Shiva actually likes the devotees of Lord Krishna. He wants to serve the devotees of Lord Krishna. How does he do it? By giving up his own devotee. That's how he serves the devotees of Lord Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada writes that how, when one, Ravana is a devotee of Shiva, but Shiva does not help him. But when Arjuna comes to fight with Lord Shiva, Ravana is worshipping Lord Shiva, offering ahuti, so many things. And Arjuna is coming and fighting with Lord Shiva when he is wanting to go to the higher planetary systems to get the different Divyastras. He fights with Lord Shiva and Shiva becomes very happy and embraces him and gives him all the benediction. So on the other hand, the devotee of Krishna fight with Lord Shiva, Shiva become happy. And his own devotee, if he worship him, he is unhappy. Because his worship is for material benediction. So therefore, Shiva is always wanting to learn, serve the devotees of the Lord. And Brahmaji, seeing this, complains to Lord Shiva that the Lord is partial. How is he partial? He said, you gave benediction to Vrikasur. Vrikasur became so powerful, such a benediction that you could keep his hand on anybody's head and the head would blow up. And after all that was done, he came to put his hand on your head and you were running around everywhere. And Lord Vishnu came and saved you. First he saved you, and then what did he say? There's nice prayers by Lord, by Brahmaji. Brahmaji is telling Shiva, and he says that Lord Krishna says that, you know, O Jagat Guru Mahadev, this demon rascal was killed because of his sinful reactions. You are Jagat Guru Mahajan. If someone commits apradh to you, a Mahajan and Jagat Guru, it's like, you know, how will he get away with his life? How will he get any kalyan, any auspiciousness in his life? So after you give benediction, Krishna becomes happy and he's praying that you are Jagat Guru, and anybody offends you, he'll be finished. And now I gave some benediction to Hiranyakashipu. And after my benediction, Lord Krishna came and chastised me left and right. That why did you give benediction? You should never give, you should understand. You give benediction, he's glorifying you, he loves you more. Like that, Brahmaji is glorifying Lord Shiva, that you are a great personality. Lord Shiva, during the pastime now, which we will see further, the pastime of Mohini Murti, which will be coming further ahead. She appeared and Lord Shiva becomes deluded by the Mohini Murti later on. Mohini Murti actually speaks, she says that this is the aspect of getting mercy. She says that sometimes person with selfish motives appear to have obtained great favor, but in actuality they are being cheated, while genuine mercy is quietly being given to others. So there are the internal aspect of receiving mercy is more important. of what is there in the devotee's heart. Why do I want to do some service? Is it that I want to please Krishna and his devotees? Or is it because I want name, fame, position? Very, very, very important to analyze and introspect regularly. Otherwise, one may be doing things, but as Mohini Murthy said, the real mercy may go to someone else. She is talking in terms of she is distributing nectar to the demons and then slowly she actually to the devotees and the demons don't get anything. So the mercy has been distributed slowly to the people who have that type of desire, and nothing goes to people who have desires which are not right. So I'll end over here. Thank you very much for being attentive. And Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Hare Krishna.